Radio.
Let the children come. Evangelization through family-friendly liturgy. A presentation by Michael Mangan and Anne Frawley Mangan at the Proclaim 2016 conference. Brought to you by Cradio and XT3.
Welcome everybody, it's great to have you here. We are going to sing, we're going to talk, we're going to move. Now I've found out that the air conditioning turns off if we don't move. So apparently because the last group sat there for a little bit too long, it turned off. So when I ask you to move, it's to your own benefit to do so. Okay, we are in fact going to start with a song. So here we go, celebrate, let's celebrate. Okay,
celebrate, let's celebrate. Come on everybody, sing praise to God. Celebrate, let's celebrate, sing praise to God today. Gathering here to listen, gathering here to share. Your voice and sing this song of joy.
Download it to you. It's always great to get through the first song and hear that people are going to sing. If not, I completely die because it's relying on you guys participating and joining in. Thank you for doing so. Now, we have parishes where I'm sure we are all trying to have the most inclusive, vibrant and welcoming parish that we can possibly have. We've heard about it in the keynotes that we've had and in many of the workshops that we've shared. However, the reality for many masses in many parishes may, and even in your parish, look a little more like this. A smaller, older group. Okay, good. So, however, of course, all of us ideally we'd like to have a parish which perhaps looked more like this, where we have an intergenerational parish. We have families, we have young kids, we have grandparents, we have all sorts of people. So some of us may be lucky enough to have our parishes like that, or some particular masses at our parishes like that. Today we're focusing on trying to make our parishes more family friendly so that we do get that intergenerational stretch within our parish. Anne and I are lucky in our parish at All Saints at Albany Creek in Brisbane, where we do have quite an intergenerational parish, so we'll share some stories about that as we go. The times that families are at Mass, of course, are the times we make the big efforts for family events and making things kids-friendly. So, obviously, Christmas, Easter, First Communion, Confirmation, we know we're going to have lots of families there, so I'm sure we make the effort to make those celebrations child and family friendly. So certainly embrace these kind of opportunities to involve and engage kids. But what about the every weekend masses? Do we make sure that our parish masses on a weekly basis are family friendly? They might not be Christmas every week or First Communion every week, but if we can think about how we can engage kids and their families in our celebrations. Just very quickly, you will know these quotes very well, and the quotes are on a handout that you will get on the way out, so don't worry about taking any notes. The Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, which many people have quoted, one of the most things it's most famous for is that fully active conscious participation, which the very nature of the liturgy calls for. We hear that quote repeatedly, but that really for us as liturgists, as musicians, whatever our role is a crucial quote for us to know. This quote, at the end of that quote, is something the one that maybe we don't know quite as well. This full active participation by all the people is the aim to be considered before all else. So in our planning stages, we have to think every time we choose a song, an action, anything, can the people fully actively and consciously participate in this? And not some of the people, all of the people are the ones that we're trying to get. How's your speed, Anne? Oh, jeez, you did well on that. Okay.
Be careful.
Provisions shall be made when revising the liturgical books after Vatican II, after the Constitution, to adapt the books to different groups, regions, and peoples. One of the groups, of course, is children. That the bishops realised that we needed to make adaptations to make a liturgy more open and available to kids. So out of that... as we all know, hopefully, came the Directory for Masses with Children in 1973. I did a workshop for the Diocese of Adelaide about 2 weekends ago. About 60 people were there, and I asked for a show of hands, how many people are familiar with the Directory of Masses with Children? I think about 4 people put their hand up. Now, that may be the same situation here. Many people aren't even aware of this document, but for those of us working in liturgy generally, but especially with children, this is an important document that we need to know about. The principles of active participation we know are vital anyway, but most especially in masses with children, because who's a teacher in the room? We know as teachers and parents that we need to keep kids actively engaged, actively involved. Otherwise, we've got problems on our hands for them and for us. So we need to keep that active participation, especially in celebrations with children. Now, a special difficulty arises that the liturgy of the church is not necessarily child-friendly. Has it ever occurred to you? It also occurred to the bishops. They realised that it's not always a kid-friendly zone for lots of reasons. For reasons of language, ritual, engagement, all sorts of things. So it doesn't exercise their inherent pedagogical force upon children. So the bishops recognised this was a challenge for us.
In fact, it's a very freeing document. So I know when we started working in the field, someone said, you know, have you read it? And you kind of go, oh, God, the bishops wrote it, what's it going to say? But in fact, if I can say, it really is a very freeing document. It gives you lots of ideas. These are the things we can do to help engage our children and our families. So I really encourage you to have a good look at it or revisit it again.
Now, it's not just that kids might be bored, although the document mentions that and did count at one time, a number of times the word bored. We don't want kids to be bored. However, it's much more crucial than that. We, in fact, may fear spiritual harm if kids repeatedly experience things that they don't understand with. They don't understand or can connect with liturgically. So it's not just they might be bored, we actually might be hurting them if we don't try and engage them. So it's much more important than just boredom. So from the Directory for Masses with Children, 2 publications came out of that. Specifically, one of them was the Lectionary for Masses with Children, with which I'm sure you'll be familiar, and the other one is the Eucharistic Prayers for Masses with Children. So many of you will be familiar with those. And just on the Eucharistic Prayers, by the way, although we received the new translation of the Roman Missal a few years back, the Eucharistic Prayers for Children have not yet been translated, nor have they been revoked. We are still able to use those Eucharistic prayers in their original translation, just by the way. Now, the directory has 2 sections. A short section, only in paragraph 16 to 19, about masses, which is mostly adults, but in which children participate. So that's essentially your parish mass, where we'll have mostly adults, probably, but hopefully we'll have some children there. And then the bulk of it is probably what normally would be a school mass, where it's mostly children with some adults. However, if I can draw your attention to the quote at the bottom there, if the bishop permits or the bishop's conference permits, the adaptations which are described for the mostly children mass can be incorporated into the parish mass. So it's not saying you can only do this with kids. Check with your pastor and your local authority to see if some of these things can also be incorporated. Now, there are two styles of liturgies for children, I guess. One of them is the liturgy of the word with children. How many people in their parish have at least once or twice a month where the children go out and have the liturgy of the word with children? We do too. And that's a great thing. Everything can be at the kids' level. They can have activities, they can do their stuff, and then they come back and join the assembly. Now, I think it's a wonderful ministry. Anne and I are particularly involved in the family ministry, where the kids remain as part of the community, the full community, and we try and build things into the general parish liturgy which will speak to the kids. So to keep them, it's fine to take them out, but I don't want the kids to feel like they're segregated from the community. They are still part of this parish celebration.
And just a little proviso here. Whilst we've said family mass, we're very careful to say that there's really no such thing as a family mass or a youth mass or a children's mass. Mass is mass and mass is for everybody. So whilst we do use that term and it helps our parish people understand what's happening in that particular liturgy, what we're talking about today is trying to make every mass a family mass and a youth mass and a middle-aged mass and an older person mass, that we're all part of the same team.
Mass, okay. It is necessary to take great care, this is your parish mass now, that children present do not feel neglected because of their inability to join in everything. Now, we know they won't be able to join in everything. We need to make sure there's something they can join in and that they don't feel neglected. So there are a couple of ways that the document says that we can do. In some cases, if the number of kids is particularly large, the whole mass can be planned more for the kids. And that's our monthly family mass that we have, is certainly that model, where we particularly aim the mass at the kids, but obviously it's inclusive of the whole community. Now, Bob Dixon and the ACBC Pastoral Life Survey team, you may know, released their publication last night, the new one that Trudy Dandis did. In an earlier document on which it was based, that Bob and his team researched, they put together, they came up with this finding. Research noted that the phenomenon of adults' attendance patterns were determined by their children and not the other way around. It's like at the supermarket, they have all the lollies down at this height. We know why they've got them there, because it's the kids who will want to buy or they won't want to buy or whatever. It's the same principle effectively. These days, in many families, the kids have the final say on lots of stuff, and it turns out, according to this research, that includes whether they go to mass or not. So the kids can make the call. If we can have something for the kids to keep and get them involved, it can in fact impact on the whole family and connect with the whole family. So this is a crucial area. It's not just about let's make the kiddies feel good. It can have much broader implications than that. Jesus said, and we use this as the title of our presentation, let the little children come to me, as opposed to... We want the kids to want to come to Mass, but even when they do, oh yes, this is... That's right. I didn't have a clue. We all want families to be at Mass, but if and when they get there, do we make them feel welcome? Do we judge their behaviour and their parents' parenting skills? Do we actually engage with them? Is there something for families with kids? Why do we think they might come back? If a random family rocks up to a random Mass at your parish, why do you think they might come back after they've celebrated with you? Okay, so let's think about that. So there are a number of articles written recently. I came up with these some years ago myself, but have found there's been research and various articles written along this, that if you ask people why they have disengaged from parish liturgy, there'll be many reasons, like, you know, clergy abuse, all these things that will impact on people, teaching on marriage and all that sort of stuff. However, I put it to you, and normally I'd ask you, but we'll run out of time. I put it to you that here are some of the key things. Someone will say, I went to that parish for 3 months and not a single person spoke to me. They don't get welcome. They don't feel welcome. There's no hospitality. Secondly, the sermons are long, boring, not connected with my life. The music is completely does not connect with me. It's slow, it's tedious. There's nothing there for me and my family. They are three things that I think will come up, and I see nods there where a lot of you are bringing it up. Now, we've put these into the S list of sermons, smiles, and songs, and we've actually entered a fourth one to the list, which is scripture. If we turn what could be our weaknesses into our parishes into our strengths by focusing on those four areas, it can make a massive difference in how we are perceived by those who come to our parish, and hopefully those who are there every week, to make it more accessible to them.
So we'll start with the first S, which is smiles. And those smiles might start in the car park or at the front door. How's the welcoming ministry in your parish is a question. It's something that we've worked very hard on at All Saints, that once upon a time it was the Eucharistic ministers and the readers, it was their job, and they used to say, I've signed up to read, why do I have to stand at the front door and welcome people as well? And we'd say, well, you know, this is the encounter of Jesus. If we're talking about what we've been talking about here for this whole conference is an encounter with Jesus, and the liturgy is our extreme encounter with the Trinity, then it starts with Jesus in me greeting Jesus in you. So that happens as well. We can say that the most important thing when people come is to be made feel welcome. If you don't start with that, the rest of it, you are really going to struggle. Do you know that beautiful Maya Angelou quote? I mightn't remember anything you said and did, but I will remember how you made me feel. And that could be a real mantra for us in our smiles idea in our parishes. Now, a lot of us might be quite good at welcoming the adults. And the adults are on the door, we're welcoming each other, and we're talking above the waist to everybody. But we have to remember to bend down and talk to the children, welcome the children. I find, I'm actually an introvert. He's not. I'm an introvert. So for me, I can stand up here and talk to you. That's not too tricky. But actually standing outside and having to, you know, do the small talk thing is much harder for me. But I can bend down and talk to the kids. That's no trouble at all. And I find the parents really like it. So somebody comes for baptism prep and they've got a beautiful baby. Oh, my goodness. How beautiful. How hard is it to stand there and tell them how beautiful their baby is? And that's a real welcoming thing. We have found a simple little thing like that works very well. I'm sad to say that this still happens in our parish too. There are people that have their seat. They're not going to move out of their seat. And if somebody comes and sits and the child's a bit noisy or, you know, is running around or cries or something like that, they have, you know, and parents have been upset. Like, we've had parents come terribly upset at something that somebody has. So I think that needs to be intentionally dealt with. That is not what we do here. That it needs to be intentionally, you know, explained, and if people need to be approached and, you know, look, this is what's happened. We need to be intentional about that. This is a beautiful quote that I found just recently from Pope Francis. I'll let you read that. You might remember that beautiful video image of Francis with the little boy who climbed up on stage and grabbed him around the leg. And I thought Francis was beautiful. He just kept doing what he had to do, as we do as parents, of course. You keep going and they hold on. And he kept presiding, even though he had a little person kind of, you know, wrapped around his leg. So we do try to discourage the children from helping with the, you know, on the sanctuary. But, yeah. But, you know, we want to be careful that we don't frighten them and their parents away. So The Directory for Masses with Children says that a way that we can offer hospitality, well, I'm saying that it's a way we can offer hospitality, is everybody loves a job at, you know, at Mass. Now, our most important job is as part of the assembly, so I acknowledge that. But if we can find jobs or ministries for our younger ones, children, teenagers, that is a way of making them feel welcomed into the parish life. They're not part of the future church, you know, and the future church isn't theirs, it's mine too. So we want to all do church together. So this is just our young people. When we first built our church, we didn't have any pictures of Stations of the Cross around. We couldn't afford them. So the parish priest asked me actually to do some tableau work with our young people and do the Stations of the Cross for our Good Friday morning. Well, it's so loved. Oh my goodness, our parish just loves it. We've now got stations on the walls, but we still do this one, and it's a really special part of our young people's ministry to us as parish. Obviously, there's things, you know, we can include the kids in prayers of the faithful and offertory processions. Bringing up the gifts, collection plates. We've got a family in our parish that told us that the children push them out the door on Sunday mornings because they want to get there early enough to be asked to take up the collection. You know, it's not always easy to find people to take up the collection. So, and we have a policy in our parish that a child can't do it on their own. They have to have mum or dad do it with them. But these are ways that we can offer hospitality and smiles to our families. This is another way in our parish. We have a disability focus group. One of our parishioners just decided that that was something that she thought we needed in our parish. Not that she has disabled family members, but that she wanted to offer that ministry. And we found that a lot of these families couldn't come to Mass very often, and even at Christmas time that they were unable to come to Mass just because their children couldn't cope with being there. So each year we have a family, a disability Christmas Mass. So on the Saturday before Christmas, we sing Christmas carols, they come, our parish choir comes, and we try and make it, you know, as special as we can. But we try to minister to our special needs families in any way that we can, and in our sacramental program too, of course. It's important that our youth and our children aren't just, it's not just youth Mass, it's not just children's Mass. Sometimes it might be, but what we try to do is offer a mentorship as well, so that sometimes the older members of the parish will play music with the younger.
I'm not one of the older members of the parish, is everyone?
No. He is. They will, like, we'll have a whole family, like a whole parish celebration. Well, we always try to include the young people in that. They're always invited to be part of that music group. When we're selecting readers at Easter time, every ceremony we try to have a young person as one of the readers, a range of ages, and so that, and in our, we try to have a young person on our liturgy team, we try to have a young person on our pastoral council, so that we're including them in our parish and intentionally saying, we need young people, we need your voice in our groups to tell us there. Cup of tea, the cup of tea thing's great, but we've got that many kids who come to church because they have morning tea after, we have morning tea after Mass. Now, I don't know, look, I guess there's an encounter in there somewhere, and who am I to judge? But, you know, if it's coming, so, you know, Lamington's after liturgy, I say, you know, do it if it will help. It's an important part of what we do. So our next S is sermons. And this is the Directory for Masses with Children. So it talks to the pastor, saying that when there are children there, it might work to go and talk directly to them. Take the handheld mic and go and ask them questions, and that might be in every Sunday's. He's pointing in his watch. Every Sunday, there might be a little part that you do. There might be intentional parts. If the number of children is large, you might actually bring the children out, and it might be a children's sermon aimed at the children, and that the Directory for Masses with Children says that's okay. This is to talk about, this is Francis, some of the things that would go into sermons. Not only what is said, but how it's said. It should be positive, you know, these things. And they should be not too long. Nobody likes a long homily. Okay? In fact, the recommended thing that's just come out on Catholic News this week, 8 minutes apparently, and isn't this, listen to the, there's a saying among clergy, if you haven't struck oil in 7 minutes, stop boring. There you go. All right. The Directory for Masses with Children states this, that if the pastor doesn't feel able to talk to the children, it would be okay to ask a layperson to do it. However, the new germ has cut that. But it's still okay for the priest to do something short and invite somebody to come and speak to the children. Okay, this is something that is a very important part of our family masses. I do the reflection, the non-sermon. The kids come out, we sit on the floor, I do a lot of the asking questions, I use props and all sorts of things to engage with them. I'm a teacher, so I use my teaching skills. I've got a drama background, I use some of that as well. There are people, you can do those sorts of things. What we find is that the adults, I get comments from the adults after Mass, I cannot tell you how many times, I've never thought of it like that before. This one, I did one on the liturgical year, one year, at first Sunday of Advent. The number of people came up to me and said, I had no idea why we changed the colours of the banners in the church. No. Yes, but I'd forgotten that. This was a particular one. So, and then this has been doing the rounds of Facebook lately. It just goes to show liturgists have got a sense of humour. So there are opportunities to do that if you've got the personnel, or do a dialogue between somebody and the priest and the kids. There are ways of doing it, and it's okay.
The third is songs. Very, very important. Music is, in fact, one of the main ways that people participate in liturgy. Sing to the Lord, the document put out by the American bishops in 2007, said that. The Directory for Masses with Children says that singing, once again, is really, really important in celebrations with children because of their affinity, their natural affinity for music. It's vital in all of our celebrations, but once again, those of us who are teachers know, kids will get involved, they'll remember stuff, they can participate musically, where they might not be able to participate so well in another way. The choice of individual compositions, this Sing to the Lord says, has to be made the way a particular group finds it easiest to join their hearts and minds to the celebration. And the Directory for Masses with Children echoes that. The culture of the people and the capabilities of the children should be taken into account. Now, this does not say that we can't invite and expect kids to participate in normal parish repertoire. We want them to do that. But it does mean that we should also include stuff which is more kid-friendly, just to get them used to participating, have stuff that language-wise is more at their level and more understandable for them too. So the two go hand in hand. Which music do we choose? The Sing to the Lord document, preceded by Music in Catholic Worship, gives us three judgments which we should use when we are deciding what music we're doing. The first judgment is a musical one, then there's a liturgical one, then there is a pastoral one. And each song that we select needs to go through that sifting process to see if it meets all of those judgments. So the liturgical judgment, does this song fit this liturgy or this part of this liturgy? Does it fit the readings? Is it in fact a gathering song or a sending song or a communion song? The fact that people will sing it doesn't necessarily mean it's appropriate. So we need to think about that.
And
now,
this is one of the things people get upset about with children's music and mass, is we get into a lot of trouble for people using the songs where they're not meant to be used. So please be careful about that.
Now, with kids' music, and this is something that affects schools, but also parishes trying to use child-friendly music, is the whole difference between liturgical music and catechetical music. There can be a difference. Much liturgical music is catechetical. Not all catechetical music is liturgical. There is a difference. So, a quick example.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You love me, love me, love me. You teach me how to live and what to do. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You love me, love me, love me. And guess what, Jesus? Yes, I love you too.
Now I can tell you kids love that song. I never ever intended that it would be used liturgically, however. I can't think of how or when I would do that song in the liturgy. It's a kid-friendly song, but I don't believe it's a liturgical song. Now, some people may choose to use it, as God knows what, but I would suggest that they probably don't. However, here's a much simpler song. Come gather, come gather, together,
together.
We come to praise our God.
We come to praise our God.
We raise up
our voices.
We come to praise our God. Our God is great and good. Our God is strong. Our God is wonderful. And so we sing this song. Come gather.
Come gather.
You know how it's going to go. Now, completely simple, but the simple theology behind it makes it a perfect gathering song. I've only put one verse up there. You don't need to know the song. You need someone who can sing it to you, and everybody can join in. A 4 and 3, a 2-year-old can join in with that chorus. So the fact that something is a kiddish, a childlike song does not mean it may not be appropriate liturgically, is the point we're making. Not every God song is appropriate. Just because it mentions Jesus or God or
anything. Or hallelujah.
Oh, that's right. Hallelujah. I've seen that song misused liturgically so many times. I love the song, but if you ever look at the verses, you know, she don't belong in liturgy, let me tell you. Musical judgment. Is this good music? Is it aesthetically well written? Does it make sense compositionally? So our musicians will make those kind of judgments. Does it make musical sense? Even just things like, is it singable? Is the range singable for the average congregation? A basic point. We want people to sing. If they can't sing it, it's not going to work. Have a look at this quote, though, from Music in Catholic Worship. When we're making that judgment, it's important not to let our own taste get in the way of liturgically appropriate music. The fact that I might hate jazz, I don't, but that doesn't mean that there's no place for jazz in liturgy, because I personally don't like it, you know? So we need to try and step back from what we might personally prefer. Come, oh come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your faithfulness. Come, oh come, Holy Spirit, fill us with the gift of your love. Try a verse. Come, oh come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your gentleness. Come, oh come, Holy Spirit, fill us with the gift of your peace. Galatians chapter 5, fruits of the Holy Spirit. This next song is based on the same piece of scripture. Holy Spirit, come and wake me. Holy Spirit, come take me. Holy Spirit, come and make me shine. Holy Spirit, come shake me. Holy Spirit, recreate me. Holy Spirit, come and rock my life. So where are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I hear you ask? In the verses. Okay, so I'm looking for some peace you give me.
Yes.
Looking for some love. Okay, all right, that's right. I'm looking for some peace.
Yes.
We're in a rock band. Yes, come on. I'm looking for some peace.
Yes.
Looking for some love.
Yes.
Looking for some power. Power in my life. Okay, let's drop down the chorus. Come on. Holy Spirit, come wake me. Holy Spirit, come take me. Holy Spirit, come and make me shine. Holy Spirit, come and shake me. Holy Spirit, recreate me. Holy Spirit, come and rock my life. Woo! I wouldn't do the woo at the end, but now the two songs both have firm scriptural basis. They are based on the same piece of scripture. They are musically very different. It doesn't mean one can be used and one can't be used, though. We would use them differently. Don't let personal preference in style cloud our musical choices. We can use family-friendly music all the way through the liturgy. There are obvious places. Gathering songs is a great place. We could have a child-friendly song there. One which is topical. We gotta open up, open up, open up the doors of mercy. We gotta open up, open up, open up the doors of hope. God's love is never-ending, welcoming us home. We gotta open up the doors and let God's mercy flow. Just go to the lyric page now, and some people have seen the dots. Let's go. We gotta open up, open up, open up the doors of mercy. We gotta
open up, open up,
open up the doors of hope. God's love is never ending, welcoming us all. We gotta open up the doors and let God's mercy flow. Obviously. So once again, a simple singable song with repetition in it makes it easy to join in, but accessible to lots of people. No reason one of the communion songs can't be pitched more at kids. We might skip over In Memory of Me and go to Given for You, if that's all right. This one's in the New Catholic Worship Book, just by the way. I was kind of surprised that they put this one into the room. It's kind of a calypso thing. Take and drink, this is my body. This is my body, this is my blood. Oh, eat of this bread and drink from this cup. This I have given for you. So there's a few verses which we won't do, but kids, once again, it's repetitious, it has a bit of energy. Some communion songs don't, and there's no problem with that, but there's no reason they can't to have some life and energy about them. And then a mass setting can also be everybody friendly, particularly let's say you have first communion or confirmation happening and you've got people coming, you don't know what they know. A simple call response mass setting.
Holy, 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 holy. Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory,
heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest,
Hosanna in the highest.
So I'm going to do next week to do a parish diocesan liturgy retreat, and I'm playing the parish mass, and we're going to do that because I don't know what they know. People are coming from everywhere. They don't need to know it, they just need to hear it. So, once again, it's not just family friendly, it's everybody friendly that you can pick up something like that. Thanks. And all the pastoral judgment, okay, this is the thing, it takes into consideration the actual community who is there in front of us at the time. This question, a great one from Music and Catholic Worship, does this song that I have chosen in this celebration help these people express their faith in this place, in this age, in this culture? Does it work with the people I'm celebrating with? If not, maybe it's the wrong choice. Let's forget this one and go on to scripture.
Okay. Did you want to talk about
Tempo? Thank you very briefly. One of the biggest killers of vibrancy and energy in not just family-friendly liturgical ministry, but any liturgical music ministry, is tempo. I have literally sat in the back of a church and I have heard,
with the hearts on fire with the love of Jesus, hearts,
and it doesn't work. I didn't kind of write it like that. Now, if you just look at the metronome mark and you pull out your metronome and think, oh, it's just actually supposed to be 120 beats a minute, it completely changes the song. So the fact you're playing an organ does not mean you can't play faster. Sometimes we need the big advantage. While I'm not a proponent of recorded music in liturgy, but all possible, the big advantage of recordings is you can hear what the song is supposed to sound like, particularly the tempo. So if we have people doing this, not so good. Even worse if you have this. Hopefully that won't happen.
I know you're in trouble then. That's right.
This doesn't mean every song should be child-friendly. It should not. But hopefully there's something for them there every week.
It doesn't mean it shouldn't be child friendly. It means it shouldn't just necessarily be a child's song, I think is what you were trying to say there. They should all be child friendly, really. shouldn't they?
Sure.
I think they should be able to sing them all. See, I'm not a singer. It's in our marriage vows, I'm not supposed to sing into a microphone, so I'm doing a lot of miming here this afternoon. But so I get really cranky. If they play songs that I can't sing, I just say, nope, that's no good. You've got to do the stuff that we can all do. So, okay. The direct brief masses with children, our next S is scripture, our last S actually. And they've given us some lovely guidelines for scripture as well. And remember that one of the ways we encounter Jesus in the liturgy is in the word. So it's a very, very important part of what we do in our liturgical celebrations. There are some adaptations that can be made for masses with children. So if the readings are very difficult, in particular if one of them is very difficult, it's okay to have two. We always have a gospel. But you can actually leave out a reading if they're particularly difficult for children to understand. That's one of the things that we're allowed to do. Avoid paraphrases, though. We need to put the words of scripture that we put into ears and hearts. We should use the words of scripture. However, we can use translations, approved translations, that are more easily understandable by the children, and that really means the children's lectionary, unless your local bishop has given permission for other things to use. So we'll have So the children's lectionary, yes, if the local bishop has approved that one. Now, one of the things that I'm quite particular about with scripture, because I do think it's such an important, beautiful part of our liturgy, is that we don't ask everybody, like as I said, I'm not supposed to sing into a microphone because I don't have a soloist singing voice, and we don't ask non-soloists to be cantors at Mass. Generally speaking, we try to pick people. We know that not everybody can sing as the same. However, there's a bit of a thing that everybody can read, and if we're going to give everybody a chance to be involved, they all get to read. So it's a bit like Oprah's giveaway. You can read at Mass. You can read at Mass. You know, everybody can read at Mass. Well, if you can humour me, I would like to encourage you to not have that idea, that if we're bringing the fatted calf to offer to God, that we bring our best, so that we actually take the time to choose the children who is their giftedness. And that was me. My giftedness is in word. So if you know, I never got to sing, there were other things I couldn't do. I'm not a dancer or any of those things. So, you know, allow children to use their giftedness in the things that they're good at. Give them a chance to rehearse it well, to know the words, to understand what they're doing, so that when they proclaim the scripture for us in the assembly, we are lifted and entered into the presence of God as well. When the text lends itself to us, you know, on Palm Sunday where we break the gospel up and some of the priest reads it and we have others read it as well. Well, that's an opportunity suggested in the Directory for Masses with Children that we can use for children. So, you know, that reader's theatre sort of thing where you just have the words doing it. Now, one of the things that I have done is I've used some drama techniques in scripture, which some of which would lend themselves to the liturgy of the word. Others you might use as some of a reflection after the sermon or after communion. They might be more catechetical. This is one that I think, if these are the pure words of scripture. In music, they talk about heightening the text of some words, like the Taizé stuff where you just repeat the words over and over, you're heightening the text. Well, in this little piece of scripture, we've heightened the text by repeating some of it. So Bob Bryan is going to proclaim he's going to be a proclaimer, so he'll do part of it, and Michael and I are going to heighten the text by repeating some parts of it. So we haven't practiced this, so if...
I'm a natural. And humble.
Oh, that's right. Praise God.
Praise Brian.
All right.
You start.
I could sing it, but
I start. All right.
I suggested it, but they wouldn't.
You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon.
You are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world.
A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house.
Let your light shine before all people.
Let your light shine before all people.
That they may see your good works.
That they may see your good works.
Praise your Father in heaven.
Okay, so thank you. Good. So there was nothing there that wasn't scripture. We have used that with our previous archbishop in our parish, and I had young people coming from all different parts of the church, and they actually did interact with that. Now, you would obviously have to check it, but it's broken it up. It's only words of scripture, and it's an engaging, inclusive way. So there might be things. Have that conversation with your liturgy team, with your priests. So, all right, this is an echo drama. This is, well, the reason I'm balking at it is it's a paraphrase. Oh, darling, please stop singing that one. That's really driving me crazy. Okay.
It's not just feeding back that drives me crazy.
This is an echo drama, so it's really good for little kids. It is a paraphrase, though, and you'll see when you see hear the words, you'll know it comes from The Message, the Eugene Peterson paraphrase. So what you've got to do is I'm going to say the words and do an action, and you've got to echo the words and the action back to me. So what we do, you've got to listen, you've got to watch, and you're using your body and your kinesthetic engagement and everything. There's all sorts of stuff going on for little ones and for you. So you are here to be light.
You are here to be light.
Bringing out the God colours in the world.
Bringing out the God colours in the world.
God is not a secret to be kept.
God is not a secret to be kept.
We're going public with this.
We're going public with this.
As public as a city on a hill.
As public as a city on a hill.
If I make you light bearers,
if I make you light bearers,
you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand.
I'm putting you on a light stand.
Shine.
Shine.
Now that I've put you there on a hilltop. On a light stand.
On a light stand.
Shine.
Shine.
Keep open house.
Keep open house.
Be generous with your life. By opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God. This generous creator in heaven. So that's just another little simple. Thank you. So that's just another simple technique that you can. But that's not for the liturgy of the word, because that's not scripture. That was a paraphrase. But you can use scripture. Like there are other ones that But it was two different ways of doing the same text, is what we were trying to show. Okay.
So we go back to an earlier slide. When are families at Mass? So we know that they're at Christmas and Easter and First Communion and Confirmation, but hopefully they are there every week. And if they're not, we want them there every week. A friend of ours who's a parish priest at the moment at a little country town on the very outskirts of Brisbane Archdiocese, way up in the bush, about 4 hours out of town, he has been very considerate of trying to have family-friendly stuff going in his parish. And he was just telling Anne and I last night that parishioners, some of the parishioners said to him, "Well, Father, we haven't got any kids." And he said, "But if we do, we want something for the pier." And that's the point. It's a build it and they may come thing, or build it and if they come, there may be something there for them. So the fact that we haven't got any kids is our challenge. So we don't just shut up a shop and say we're not a kid parish, we are not a family parish. If we want to be, we've got to have things there for them. Who wants to make that change? Who wants change? Yeah, who wants to do it though? And that's the thing, and that's somebody mentioned that this morning, Susan, maybe, the thing of people wanting change, but it takes a big mindset and a big commitment to make that change. Hopefully the four S's that we've proposed to you today, now liturgy is not all just about sermons, songs, smiles and scripture, we're not saying it is, but they are four hit points that if we decided, right, one of those or two of those this year, we're really going to concentrate on getting our hospitality, our smiles part right, and we're going to work on music or whatever it is, pick a couple of them, we can gradually build up our capacity to be a family-friendly parish. We think it's really important. It really helps make our parish vibrant and inclusive and meaningful and welcoming for people. And we hope that a similar thing can be happening for your parish. Now, the change does not have to be quite as drastic as this. But we can, at some level, maybe making efforts in our parishes to make those changes within our capacities. Now, some of it is very personnel-based, some of the things. Like, not everybody is going to be, and I'm one of those people, I'm speaking in public all the time. However, what Anne does with the reflection with the kids after Mass, after the homily, even though I'm also a teacher, that scares the crazy out of me. I'm happy to sing in front of 30,000 people. But that's not my gift, but that's Anne's gift. We need people who are prepared to step forward, develop the gifts that they have. And similarly, Anne's not going to get up and sing in front of 30,000 people, whereas I am.
Yes, I'm not allowed to.
Oh, darling. That's right.
We are the voice of Jesus. We are his heart and hands. We are his body in our land.
And do it, stand up.
Stand up, live the story to all the world proclaim. And go out to all creation, lighting the fire. Hearts on fire, let's spread the word. Hearts on fire, feel the spirit blazing. Hearts on fire, go to live the good news in this land. Setting hearts on fire.
Two to go.
With the hearts on fire.
One big one.
Setting hearts on fire.
Whoa. Thank you.
That was Michael Mangan and Anne Frawley Mangan with Let the Children Come, Evangelization through Family-Friendly Liturgy. This presentation was part of the Proclaim 2016 conference on the theme On a Mission of Mercy, Evangelizing Parishes, which was hosted by Broken Bay Diocese Australia. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.